afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for, yes, July 5th, 2022. It is Tuesday. I hope everyone had a great 4th. That's just weird, Dave. Hi, Dave. Welcome back. Welcome back. I think we're back.
Hey, sorry about that. It's happy first day back from vacation day, and we forget to turn our microphone on.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Yes.
But it's I don't know. It's hard to believe that we're already July 5th. It's like, what happened to the first 4 days? But anyway.
What happened to my vacation last week?
Yeah, it goes by fast, does it not?
Yes, it does. You know, I had a beach vacation last week, and I thought you should know this very important piece of history, that on this day in 1946, the bikini was introduced. Just getting back from a beach vacation, I thought all of our listeners out there would just be looking to know that information.
The itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot.
There you go.
But anyway, well, something that got a little bit smaller today.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Just a bloodbath, just a complete drop down in gold pricing and silver. I mean, it's still not too bad, but even though it's down a bigger percentage than gold, they both got whacked. They all got whacked today. And we're going to continue to, and it's really all due to a stronger dollar. It was a very sharp sell-off today. Right now in the New York spot price aftermarket, we're looking at gold down $39 at $17.69. Silver is down 74 cents at $19.34. Platinum was down 20 at $877. And hey, palladium, the Russian precious metals, was up 3 at 2010. And the USDX today is incredible. Was up 1.27. That's an incredible move, 106.46. And the main reason why gold was hammered today. We saw a big drop in crude oil today. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. We're going to go, but I'm going to just say a few things about gold. And again, we saw the U.S. dollar index, it climbed, as we saw, way over 106, a 20-year high. This is a 20-year high for the dollar. So let's go back 20 years and see what was happening then. So it doesn't mean that the dollar is going to stay here or that gold is going to stay at these lower levels. But supposedly you have these people flocking to the dollar as a safe haven currency after the Fed promised to be on this very aggressive tightening path to get this inflation under control. And we did see stocks plunge today. They all fell over 2%. NASDAQ was down 1%, and they all came back. We'll talk about that in here just a little bit. But so it's like everyone is looking at the FOMC minutes from the June meeting. And also we have, I believe, this week we have the jobs report coming out. And that might reflect just where we're heading with also gold. And also, I believe on July 8th, there's going to be, I guess, the new inflation numbers. No, I'm sorry. No, I got it backwards. The jobs report is July 8th, and the inflation numbers come out July 13th.
And GDP, on the 28th.
Yes, yeah, so there's a lot of numbers coming out. And you know what, Dave, I'm thinking, although it shouldn't have an impact, but with this drop in oil today, that could make those inflation numbers on the 13th down a little bit. So that doesn't mean that we're out of the woods yet, but I'm not sure if it would have that quick of an impact. because I don't know what those guidelines are, but that's something that we could expect to see, I would imagine. And also on the physical side of gold demand, we could also see some hurdles. India has increased the basic import duty on gold from 7.5% to 12.5%. Now, this was they're trying to control their foreign currency outflow as the Indian rupee plunged to a record low against the U.S. dollar. And we all know that India is a major importer of gold. They have imports of around 107 tons in May. And so it's, you know, higher dollar really kills a lot of all the world currencies. You have the euro hitting a 20-year low. So all of these other nations are hurting against our strong dollar. And we hurt, too, because that makes our items more expensive to buy. And so it doesn't help our exports at all. And at a time when the R word, when a recession is being discussed, and most likely we're already in, and I think Dave's going to talk about that in the third segment of the program today, I believe it would only add more fuel to the fire when it comes to that recession with this very strong dollar. But anyway, we will see what happens. And again, the Dow clawed itself back today from being down 2%, which I think was, 600 points?
Yeah.
Down to 129 at 30,967. The S&P was down 2%, and it managed to be up 6 points. The NASDAQ was down almost 1%, and they managed to be up almost 2% at 11,322. The bonds, the 10-year yield, 2.82%. Euro markets, they were all negative. I mean, they got hammered. They were all down almost 3%, all of them. And Asian markets, the Shanghai was the only one that was negative territory. The other Asian countries were, you know, Nikkei was up 1%, that's all. And oil prices, I didn't give you that. We did break 100. The WTI was down over 8% at 99.59. Brent was down 9% at 102. Natural gas was down 4.25% at 5.485. So I'm not quite sure, I guess, Dave, why those oil prices tanked the way they did, except as recession fears are mounting, I guess with an economic slowdown, that will cut demand for, you know, any type of petroleum product. And so I don't believe that was the only thing that added to the big drop in. But, you know, you see these go down, and we should see our gasoline prices go down, Dave, wouldn't you see? Wouldn't you think?
I mean, there's certainly a lag in that, but certainly I think as early as tomorrow or Thursday, we should see a couple of cents drop. I mean, it should be a little more than a couple in a week or so's time. But I'm skeptical that'll happen. I just think that, again, we may have a difference of opinion on this, but I just think that the big oil guys are using the opportunity when they can to just rein in a little bit more profit for the shareholders. So I don't think we'll see a major downturn just yet. Now, there's this interesting development coming out of last week's group of seven summit meeting about Biden's proposal with this novel strategy to allow Russian oil to trade, but with its price capped. And, I mean, we can get into that a little bit more today or probably Thursday, unless you and Butch talk about it tomorrow. But there's been a growing consensus that something like that's essential to prevent a catastrophic price surge that would really affect the world economies, which is already pretty fragile right now. And certainly a new oil spike, particularly after what we've seen today, and perhaps what we're seeing today. It'll be interesting to see what people say about the G7 proposals' effect, if that had anything to do with some of these futures
probably
contracts coming down.
Well, I think all multinational corporations are make profits for the shareholders. We get that. But on the other hand, I also know that these contracts are pushed. They can push the prices higher, and then they short them, and then the markets and the prices drop.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So this is exactly – I don't know what the real price of oil is. And I don't believe commodities like that used it for energy for the people, for us, and has such a big impact, I don't believe they should be traded.
That's exactly
because
right.
they just push them up. We don't know what, and we really don't know. So, no, I don't believe it's just the oil companies' profits and their greed that is pushing them. It's the traders, and whether they're backing them and so forth remains to be seen. But it's the paper trading that pushes these prices to these stupid levels. And, yes, that's what the price of oil is based on, and that's what they pay, and that's what gets refined, and that's what we pay for gasoline and every other product that has petroleum in it. So it's such a distorted market. You can never get the truth. Everything is just, you know, but hey, everybody thinks that they're working for you and that they're there to help you.
Options trading equals collusion equals market manipulation. All of it should be abolished.
It should.
It almost certainly won't be in our lifetime. Because the system's rigged up for and by the wealthiest among us. But gosh darn it, it ought to be.
But then, Dave, you wouldn't have everyone's 401s, the retirement accounts and everything, because that's how they end their retirement. And so it all works together. You know, they've created all of these systems, because our dollar has lost so much value. We've had inflation ever since, they took us off the standard, and we've gradually seen the prices rise. No one on our purchasing power has gotten so weak that this is all, it's all part of it. They just create all these programs and so forth just to keep everything and everyone going. Where would these retirement accounts be if they didn't do that? And you're right. It's not a real market. It's fake. It's a gambling casino, and so where would everything be if they didn't do this? You'd be at the Dow 3000, right? Pretty much. I mean, you have all these multinational corporations buying back their own shares. There's so much market manipulation going on, and money is being pumped up, created out of thin air to keep it. You've got the Fed to the tune of $9 trillion. It's ridiculous. But, hey, it's the world we live in, and it's the world where we have to survive in and be aware of how it works and so forth. And so you've seen that in gold and silver, too. There's a lot of paper trading that pushed the silver price up to 27 and 28 bucks. And then you have profit takings, and they short it. And, J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, 2 years ago, felony, manipulation of the precious metals market. And what happens? Don't you do that anymore. What, do you think he listened? Does anybody else out there listen? The fundamentals, and this is what I'm getting to, the fundamentals haven't changed. You know, they talk about, oh, oil is dropping. That's fine. We'll see gasoline prices drop. Good, good, good. But you know what happens in a recession? Jobs are lost. People aren't working. And you can't afford the gas anyway, even at the lower price. So That's what's coming. That's what happens in recessions and depressions. People lose their jobs. Companies go out of business. And there's so much debt that has been created out there that can't be serviced by these corporations. And so, and especially as he's raising these rates, he's going to raise them another, what, 75 basis points, Dave, is the prediction?
This month, yeah. And, you know, possibly another 75 the following. Hey, the good news is I'm just looking at this as you're talking. It looks as though the Fed's assets are actually down about $52 billion.
Wow.
From their high. So it looks as though they've begun to sell off, actually sell off or not renew anyway, some maturing mortgage-backed securities and treasuries.
Well, that may be true, but how much more money are they still putting into the aftermarket?
Well,
a lot.
Well, we'll find out about that. I would suggest about 10 years from now.
Yeah. So they just change their little strategies and so forth. But you know, money is still being pumped in. I mean, that's how the dollar. You know, it's
well, and they hide it. They hide it.
They hide it. Yeah, they do. Yeah. They got two books. You know,
this age of transparency, supposedly, that strikes me as a very big and bad joke.
Yes, it is. But anyway, so we already talked about the oil prices dropping on that, so we can probably go, you know, you have economists, even at the too big to fail, like Goldman Sachs, they're hiking their inflation projections this weekend. They're warning that recent strong price spikes seem similar to those that preceded record inflation just decades ago. So everyone is expecting the inflation to last longer than what they had previously expected. And they're looking to see consumer prices are going to rise more quickly a little bit later this summer as transportation and health insurance costs continue to surge and pushing core inflation. And, of course, you know, take out that nasty food and energy price. But if you take that out, they're expecting it to go much higher to over 6% in September. So we're continuing to see automobile prices. We got something on that here in a little bit, don't we, Dave?
We probably won't make it into this first segment, but it's, I think, our next story.
Oh, wow. Are we at that time already? So not only is July going fast, so is this first segment. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. Yes, we are. We're looking to it to protect us. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. I already said that. I was thinking about something else.
You can never mention it too often, Melody.
I know. Stocks. But not on when you're live on the radio. You're not supposed to do those things. But something near and dear.
We're among friends.
Yes, we are. That is the truth. Heading into the break, we were talking about how there's still, you know, if you can believe what they talk about and where they want to focus on, but Wall Street is still looking to see higher inflation. And I know, Dave, you wanted to finish up with some information regarding that.
Well, just to bring it more into perspective, a number of economists are now saying that policymakers, the Fed, Congress, et cetera, have to really come to grips with the reality that inflation is here for the long term, and it will not come down to their preferred targets for a number of years, perhaps. Certainly, inflation's not going to end up anywhere close to the Fed's longstanding 2% target anytime soon. You look back to the 70s, that's our benchmark that everyone is comparing now with. You know, multiple energy crises back then pushed oil prices up as much as 400%, all while the Fed prioritized efforts to improve the labor market. It wasn't until, hey, that the cigar stomping, chomping Paul Volcker took office as Fed chair in 1979 that the Fed pivoted to fight inflation. And though the efforts were to some extent successful then, they also yielded a recession in the early 80s. Now, whether or not Biden, we'll talk a little bit more about this later, decides to end some of these tariffs on Chinese goods,
that's
experts.
That's a brilliant move.
Well, we'll hear that'll probably have modest effects on inflation.
And I didn't mean that as a compliment.
No, trust me. I'm sure our listeners know that. And I guess that enough said. I mean, but they've, yeah, enough said. We've been talking a lot about the Fed being so focused on bringing down inflation that they're almost certainly, as especially now, as consumers and business owners, number one concern, inflation has, you know, gone to number two. It's still way up there, but recession. Everyone is the R word, as you mentioned. As we go to this next story about new car payments, it's no wonder that everyone's concerned, Melody.
Can you believe the average, this is the average payment for a new vehicle? Now, I don't know if this is a Mercedes or a BMW or what, $712 a month.
All new cars, all new vehicles.
Yeah, but which brand?
No, all brands.
This is the average for all brands.
All brands.
$712 per month. Now, this is Moody's Analytics new report by Cox Automotive. The affordability of a new vehicle continues to climb in May. This is the fourth month in a row. It's just, and it is true. Our first houses, our payments were never even that much.
Indeed.
It's, or rent. It's just out of reach for most people. Government CPI data from May show that over the previous year, new car prices have gone up 12.6%. This and rising interest rates have made monthly payments higher than ever. Used cars have increased even more with an increase of 16.1%. So we have, with this, record gas prices and supply chain issues delaying new car production. More people are looking for cars with better mileage, and that means more business for used car dealers. It's amazing, Dave.
Yeah, it is. I mean, according to Kelley Blue Book, the average new car purchase price in May was over $47,000. Now, I don't know if that was the average price of cars that were purchased or the average price of cars that are on the market. Either way, it ain't your grandparents' Ford.
No.
One guy says, I joke with people that every new car purchase is a luxury car purchase. I don't care what you're buying. Now, this report by Cox and Moody said May saw a median of 41 weeks of income needed to buy the average new car. So, again, they're saying that a major cause of this increase, the ongoing shortage of computer chips that run many of the functions in modern vehicles. But certainly demand and supply, as well as certain other issues. Did we mention the value of the dollar? While one analyst said that prices for new and used vehicles are showing signs of stabilizing, and her prediction of price growth will likely decline over the rest of the summer, particularly as this so-called big squeeze in inventory passes. She said no one should expect price drops in the market until at least later on next year, particularly with interest rates going up, payments are even probably going to go higher before
higher
they go lower.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have to question the quality of the chips that do get. I mean, if that is the biggest issue on this supply chain situation, these computer chips, I mean, if they run the many functions in modern vehicles, what is the quality control for these chips? I mean, because you'd think they'd want to get as much completed and shipped out as possible. So you'd think there's going to be shortcuts.
Well,
created, I would think.
Yeah, particularly with the shortages. I don't know about the shortcuts, how big of a problem that is. It's got to be more than a minor problem, in my own humble opinion. But why hasn't this administration called on the Federal Defense Production Act to incentivize or require certain manufacturing companies, to U.S. manufacturing companies, to start to make chips instead of relying on all these foreign sources?
We probably can't with the trade agreements that were created, maybe. And even the cost, and we don't do things, they'd have to retool
startup
how many
costs.
Factories. Yeah. And this is an administration who's focused on green, and they don't, they're spending billions and billions of billions on the, for new technology for everything else instead of focusing on the problems that are facing the people today. So so there's, you know, multiple reasons, but I think those are the major ones. So, but it would be interesting to see the trade agreements and see how that has impacts on them. So, and because you would think that these companies would move and would reopen plants somewhere else if it was, but again, the help, they can't, they make too much money. They make too much money using slave labor in all these countries. And whether it be China, whether it be any other Asian country, they move out of China, they're just going to go someplace else in Asia or India, and where people get paid pennies per hour. And that's what we've given up. And that's what we agreed to, so we could buy trinkets from all of these places at a much lower price. In essence, we exported our inflation. So these things would come back to us at a lot cheaper cost. So it is what it is, but it was definitely at our cost, at our standard of living. But you know, we talk about standards of living and the record high inflation going through Europe. We talked about the euro hitting its falling to its lowest level in two decades again as recession. Fears of a recession are warming up over there, being ramped up in the eurozone. So it's just not here in this country that these fears and these signs that are showing that a recession is, it's going to be recession slash depression is what I say. That's going to be felt around the world because this world is so connected anymore, Dave.
That we are, Melody. And I'm not sure I have anything to add.
All right, let's go ahead. And I don't know. You know.
Right.
It's really hard. I don't even like to say levity is, well, levity is golden is great. You know, I love the items that you talk about.
Oh.
But I don't know about this one.
Well, it's funny you should say that, and I'm embarrassed at the moment because.
Why is that?
Well, I've since writing it this morning, I found something newer that I thought would be much more appropriate. And I'm having a difficult time finding it altogether. So why don't we just skip the whole thing and we can revisit it on Thursday, perhaps.
We'll talk about it Thursday. But I'm just going to give the listeners a hint. Mating with an English elite.
Yes.
I love your ability for these great titles.
Not nearly as risque as the title may suggest. And possibly not as relevant to our lives either, but anyway.
But you know what? That's what's interesting about these, about the levity of golden, because sometimes we just need to pull away from things that are impacting us so much and looking around and see what's happening elsewhere. So, so what else is happening elsewhere? We have Russia. They're preparing to shut down the Nord Stream pipeline. Number one, this is where Europe's biggest piece of gas import infrastructure, but they're saying it's for annual maintenance. And, of course, this is kind of stoking some fears that this disruption of gas supplies could undermine everyone's efforts to prepare for the winter. And so, you know, they're looking to use planned maintenance works to turn off the taps for good. That is the fear for some. The summer maintenance activities on the pipeline, which runs under the Baltic Sea from Russia to Germany, are scheduled to take place from July 11th through July 21st. And it comes as European governments are scrambling to fill underground storage with natural gas supplies in an effort to provide households with enough fuel to keep the lights and homes warm next winter. So the EU receives about 40% of its gas via these Russian pipelines. And
Yeah, it's an eye opener and very tough timing, particularly with Europe trying to gear up the EU, that is, to make sure that there are plenty of reserves available for distribution to Europeans' homes this winter in the cold months for good old heat. Eurasia Group, for one, it's a political consultancy, say that if supply doesn't come back after this maintenance, as Putin wants to play games or hit Europe while it's hurting, then that plan to fill up gas storage by the end of the summer will probably not work. And we know that the Nord Stream 1 pipeline is majority owned by good old Russian gas company Gazprom, Melody.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, to, you know, once. But I don't think it would behoove Russia to keep it turned off. I mean, if this is a normal, who knows? I guess we'll find out. They turn it back on, but, you know, if. And it would also, I don't know if this would have anything to do with it, but if they're looking to cap pricing.
Yeah.
Maybe that would influence Russia for not turning it back on.
Well, you raise an excellent point. The point raised by those who wonder if this well-intentioned plan by the Biden administration and the G7 could backfire for that very reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of gas,
well, you know,
see
I mean,
how many... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, did you see how many people have taken to the skies this past weekend?
Yeah, there was a lot of them, a record number of people took to the skies over this 4th of July weekend. And nearly 2.5 million people passed through the U.S. airport security checkpoints on Friday. Now, this is the most since February of 2020. There were another 2.2 million that were screened on Saturday and 2.1 million on Sunday. And, of course, we know what the system, the air travel system, has been struggling with, shortages and strikes and everything in these past couple of weeks. And certainly along with the high prices also. So, I don't think I would fly at this point in time, kudos to those who do.
Mm.
So I hear the music. I think we're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And one more time, welcome back to Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen, Melody with the Client Business's third segment. You may call her at 1-800-375-4188. Well, now, the Department of Commerce's Bureau of Economic Analysis, the good old BEA, will release its advanced estimate of GDP for the second quarter at 8:30 in the morning on July 28th. All eyes on Wall Street and on Main Street will be glued to that number as a gauge of where, among other things, stock and precious metal prices may be headed. Now, as of this morning, the number crunchers at the Atlanta Fed's GDP now are forecasting a 2.1% contraction in second quarter economic growth. GDP now modelers will update their forecast five more times before the second quarter GDP is released on the 28th, taking into account additional economic data releases between now and then, so that number could change. But for now, we know that GDP shrank at a 1.6% annualized rate in the first quarter. Two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth has been the criteria for characterizing the economy as in recession. The definition of recession at the National Bureau of Economic Research is, quote, a significant decline in economic activity that spread across the economy and that lasts more than a few months. Yet they defined a very, very short period of downturn in 2020 as that, although I believe the downturn, while not technically meeting the NBER's definition, certainly a jobs recession for a long period during the height of this pandemic. Now, if there's a meaningful second quarter contraction, too big to fail, Wall Street trading house Morgan Stanley sees potential for the stock market measured by the S&P 500 to sink as low as 3,000. As of last Friday's close, the S&P stood at 3825. Which had already been a loss of 19.7% since January 1st. And as Pam and Russ Martin say in today's Wall Street on Parade newsletter, the S&P closed out last year at 4,766. So if it were to reach 3,000 this year, that would be a year-to-date loss of 37%. That could actually be the good news compared to what's likely to happen to the NASDAQ if there's a significant GDP shrinkage. The NASDAQ Composite Index closed out last year at a reading of 15,645. Well, the NASDAQ closed Friday at 11,128. That's a year-to-date decline of 29%. GDP contraction would be likely to hit the NASDAQ a lot harder than the broader S&P because the NASDAQ is stuffed with tech companies trading at lofty price-to-earnings multiples, numerous companies with negative earnings histories, many companies paying no dividends, and companies that should have never been brought to the public markets in the first place. Interestingly, according to a study released last year by University of Florida Professor Jay Ritter, there are more traditional initial public offerings with negative earnings issued in the four-year period 2017 to 2020 at any time in the last 40 years. According to Reuters research, 77% of traditional IPOs issued in 2017 had negative earnings. In 2018, 81%, 77% in 19, and 80% in 2020. That's amazing. No other era, in the last four decades even came close to that record. For example, the last 4 years leading up to the historic dot-com crash in 2000, the number of IPOs with negative earnings ranged from, 36% in 97, 46% in 98, got up higher, 76 in 99, and 81 in 2000. But that four-year average of traditional IPOs with negative earnings comes to 60% versus the four-year average of 2017 to 2020 of 79. Now, Morgan Stanley certainly isn't the only trading house on Wall Street that's making bold predictions of what might lie ahead for markets. In a communique on July 1st, too big to fail, bank and five-time felon J.P. Morgan Chase predicted that global oil prices could reach a stratospheric $380 a barrel if U.S. and European penalties prompt Russia to inflict retaliatory crude oil cuts. At the other end of those predictions, in terms of the price of oil anyway, too big to fail, Citibank predicts that crude oil could actually plunge as low as $65 by the end of this year if a deep recession hits the U.S. Well, as of today's opening, domestic West Texas Intermediate crude was trading at a little below $109 a barrel. Keep in mind, and that was at the opening, it went below $100 later in the day. Keep in mind that J.P. Morgan Chase and Citigroup are two of the four largest derivatives traders on Wall Street. And since they're taking wildly divergent views of what might happen in the oil market, we had better factor in the possibility that they are simply talking their book of derivatives business and looking to move the markets in their favor. Market manipulations, ladies and gentlemen. In any event, wherever these prices go, stay tuned for a rough and tumble volatile summer, especially if we see second quarter GDP falling into negative growth territory. And if there's one more global metric that tells you how the world has changed, it's this one on the German trade balance. Yesterday, Germany reported its first monthly trade deficit since, listen to this, 1991. For years, the story was all about Germany's monster trade surplus and how the country acted as this huge global demand sponge, helped in part by a structurally weak euro. Now it's abruptly come to an end. Robin Brooks, who's the chief economist of the IIF, put it this way, quote, "Germany's growth model has been to import cheap energy from Russia, use that to assemble manufactured goods, and export those goods to the rest of the world." Of course, all that cheap energy is gone, all of it, helping to send the import bill soaring. And there's risk of a double whammy. If higher energy costs also render some of Germany's domestic manufacturing uneconomical, threatening export revenue as well. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the era of expensive natural gas is indeed rearranging the entire world economic order as we speak. Now, bear with me for 1 second. I want to move back on my pages here for a second. Financial advisors' bullishness is reaching new and ever more unrealistic levels, some say, even as the stock market pulls back from its recent excesses. Some observers are saying advisors are already doing a bad job managing their clients' expectations, but it turns out their own instincts have also been skewed by the long bull market of the past decade. Every 2 years, Natixis surveys 2,700 finance professionals around 16 countries and asks them for the annual returns above inflation that their clients can realistically achieve in the long term. This year, those answers ranged from 6.2% in the UK to 14.9% in Colombia. U.S. advisors were near the bottom of the range at 7%, but that number has been rising steadily from 5.9% in 2016. Our markets have been performing uncommonly well over the past 10 years, but even during these good times, they haven't done as well as advisors expect them to do over the long-term future. A good proxy for the typical portfolio of an advisor's client is the Morningstar Moderate Target Risk Index. That index represents a portfolio of global equities, bonds, and traditional inflation hedges and seeks approximately 80% exposure to global equity markets. That portfolio has risen by 4.2% per year in real terms on average over the last 10 years. It's a full 2.8 points behind advisors' current long-term expectations. Now, the Morningstar Index's returns have consistently run a point or two behind advisors' expectations, but the real size of the gap is unprecedented. And the best real world returns in 2020 are still lower than the lowest advisor expectations in 2016. Advisors' clients have expectations that are off the charts. Surveyed last year, they said they'd expected long-term real returns, that's above inflation, of 17.5% a year. Numbers that would put them in the top tier of legendary hedge fund managers. Bottom line, clients' expectations are filtering back into the expectations of the advisors themselves. After all, given the choice between an advisor promising higher returns and one promising lower, it's rational to expect clients to gravitate toward the higher number. We live in interesting times. Many families in the UK could be offered mortgages of 50 years or more that could be passed on between generations under plans being considered by UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. More on that in another program. Hey, bargain shoppers, coupons are disappearing fast. Well, partly because almost no one uses them anymore. According to Kantar, coupon redemption rates are now running at about 0.5% of all purchases. That's down from more than 1% in the early 2010s and from more than 3.5% as recent as the mid-1980s. Still, more than 158 billion coupons were used recently. Kristen McGrath, who's a saving expert with Retail Me Not, said it's hard to pinpoint exactly if and when coupons will become extinct, but they're definitely on that path. And some good news for anybody who thinks that inflation is caused by the expansion of money supply, that expansion rate is now back down to its pre-pandemic levels, around 6.4%. More on this phenomenon again in another program or blog. Now, last today, all the talk in the news about a looming recession has almost three-quarters of Americans worried about their finances. 74%, in fact, of U.S. consumers are concerned about a recession. That's according to a new survey from Empower and Personal Capital. In addition, 85% worried about inflation. 56% say they're already seeing their standard of living declining. The survey of 2,000 adults conducted by the Harris Poll in mid-April, 2 months ago, over 2 months, almost three. While experts are quickly to point out that downturns are a normal part of the economic cycle, you should be prepared when one occurs. certified planner Paul Deere at Personal Capital emphasizes you want to have a plan in place and stick to it. The government says that the most recent pandemic recession in 2020 only lasted 2 months, but it had the highest peak unemployment rate of any U.S. downturn since the end of World War II. Whether a recession is near or a couple of months later, farther away, here's what Deere says you can do to prepare for it. First, if you're still working, update your resume. Labor market has been hot for job seekers, but that will change if a recession hits. He said the people have to prepare for less overall job security. With employment being at all-time highs, natural employment will decrease. Thus, update your resume now so you're ready if and when there are layoffs. Next, reduce your living expenses. Think about where you want your budget to be for a worst-case scenario and a best-case scenario. Now, the experts say you have to think about the what-ifs. You know, so what if my rent goes up, my car breaks down, et cetera, et cetera. Third, bulk up on your emergency fund. Number four, pay down your debt. And last but not least, stay invested, especially in gold and silver. For all your precious metal needs, ladies and gentlemen, call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's it for today's program. I'll return on Thursday. Butch will be here with Melody tomorrow, along with Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs. I'm Dave Allen. Thanks, as always, to our producer, Todd, and to you for tuning into Financial Survival. Please be safe out there. Bye-bye.